I think most people stay in the lukewarm phase because they want to and they're comfortable right there. And I think another way that you can see that your life is lukewarm is that
what's good, everybody? Welcome back to the More Purpose Podcast,
where we talk everything from faith to finances.
I'm your host, Clarence.
And your co-host, Marlon.
And we are back with another episode once again. Yes, Marlon, sir. I don't know what we're doing, man. What are we doing?
Today.
Hello.
Today, we have a very important topic.
Breathe in. Take it in. Mm-hmm. Moment of silence.
Today, we are talking from the title, Help. I am lukewarm.
Woo.
Help, I am lukewarm. This is a topic that everybody listening to this, whether you think so or not, everybody should be able to relate to this topic, because even if you are not now, you once was. So first and foremost, before we even start this episode, throw away the judgment, throw away that this episode is not for you, because the Holy Spirit is saying this episode is for you and it's for us. We are not talking from an area of judgment, but we are talking from an area of stuff that we are experiencing right now. And what I mean by lukewarm is that you are neither hot nor cold. You are neither fully surrendered for God, and you're in the middle of the fence. It's like, okay, I want to be over here for God, but then I also want to be outside. And we all have areas of our lives where we've experienced this in many different ways and in many, many different elements. So to start this episode, I just ask that you open your mind, you open your heart to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do in you in this moment, because I just believe that this is not the time to be lukewarm, and this is not the season to be lukewarm. And yeah, so we're going to start off. I'm going to start with three signs that you are a lukewarm Christian. And I believe that everybody, you don't got to tell me which one you fall under, but everybody should be able to fall under one of these. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, signs that you are a lukewarm Christian. Number one, and this one convicted me the most. Number one, you are a hypocrite. What you say, you do not do behind closed doors.
Hello.
That's number one sign that you are a lukewarm Christian. That already knocks off like 95%.
Wham.
Number one. Number two, that you are a lukewarm Christian. You lack conviction when you sin. Only you know that. Only you would know that. But you lack conviction when you sin. That's number two. Number three, let's see what we want to do for number three. Okay, your love and adoration for God has started to fade. You have lost your desire to spend time with him in prayer, in worship, in Bible study, or to serve him. Mm-hmm. That's another sign that you are lukewarm, is that you're feeling the fire go out. You're feeling the desire and the need that you used to have. That thing was like, yo, I want to read my Bible.
Yeah.
That's gone away. That means, hey, you're shifting back over into that lukewarm side. You're playing the middle of the fence. So all of those got me, first and foremost.
Listen,
I'm under all three of those.
Like,
and that's what we have to work on. That's why we're talking about this, because this is such a serious topic, especially as young adults, being Christians and living for God, is that it's so easy to not live by what you say. It's so easy to not fully follow out even what God has told you to do and stuff like that. So, yeah, let's start off right there.
Can I add a fourth one?
Yeah, go ahead. You can add some more, because there's many more. It's not just limited to those three. Come on.
What God just gave me after reading the scripture, another sign that you're lukewarm is that your word outweighs God's.
Mm.
So in Luke 6, verse 46, it says, "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?"
Mm.
So
blatant disobedience.
Yeah.
Lukewarm.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of another. Hold on.
Probably.
What else? Blatant disobedience. Mm-hmm. You said your word outweighs God.
Like, basically, if God gives you something to do, you're going to do what you want to do versus doing what he told you to do.
Okay, so a branch off of that one, another sign of lukewarm, and this is something I go through, saying I'm going to, putting things off.
Yeah.
So putting off getting right with God,
mm-hmm.
putting off reading, putting off worshiping, putting off prayer,
mm-hmm.
Putting off the sinful nature.
Having no urgency.
Yeah, having no urgency to, mm-hmm. I'll stop doing this.
Yeah.
Soon or later,
yeah.
And it's no specific time.
I'll stop when I'm ready to stop.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a great sign.
I'll start when I'm ready to start.
That's a good one right there. And I think the biggest realization that we have to come to is that we don't always have tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we have to realize, is that time is of the essence. First and foremost, we're fighting.
Tomorrow is not promised.
We're fighting against two different factors right here. So for one, all of us have an expiration date. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, and you never know when your expiration date is, right? You never want, God forbid, that all of us live a long life. But that's number one. Everybody must die. That's Facts. The only guaranteed thing in life. Everybody must die. Second thing is, there's such thing as a rapture. So even if you don't die mm-hmm. at this appointed time, Jesus is coming back. So neither one of those two factors right there, you never know. Mm-hmm. You don't have the date. You don't have the facts to where you can say, hey, tomorrow is my day, or tomorrow Jesus mm-hmm. coming back. So with that uncertainty, it's best that we get our life together now in the present while we can, because mm-hmm. it will come a day or hour where no man will be able to work. No man will be able to get right with God. You know, mm-hmm. what happens when the sun fades? What happens when everything happens and you're like, oh, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready to get right with you. And it's like, all right, listen, it's too late. And that's scary. That's actually scary. And that's mainly why we want to talk about this on today, because it's a serious thing. And even for all of us, Christianity has just become like a, it's become, how do I want to say it? It's become a look. It's
aesthetic.
Aesthetic. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. It's become an aesthetic. It's become a style, you know, like with mm-hmm. content creation, especially, which is good because God is using social media and stuff to push his word and get his glory. But with that being said, there's still a urgency to where a lot of us, we can post these different things, but we still don't fully surrender to God in private. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's where we want to start right now. So, yeah, let's get right into it.
Do you think that, how can I say this? Hold on. Let me go back and read. Oh, there you go. Do you think that it's a sign that you're lukewarm if you leave your post thinking that God's not going to come back yet?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's basically what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Like, because again, you never know the day or the hour. Mm-hmm. I love John Bevere. I love John Bevere. John Bevere can preach the same sermon 20 times.
I love how you break it down.
And it's going to convict me every time.
And you can see how serious he is about his relationship with God. Bro, like, he has a pure relationship with God.
Like,
for sure.
If you want to learn about holiness and like fully surrendering your life to God, yes. having a reverence and receiving God's presence.
In relationship.
Yeah, his manifest presence in your life. You need to watch John Bevere because he breaks things down plainly too. Yes. It ain't like nothing crazy. But this is something that stuck with me. He basically said living a lukewarm life is like, and for context, because we are Christ, we're his bridegroom, meaning mm-hmm. Christ is coming back to marry a church without yeah. spot or wrinkle. He's come back to marry us, the church, the mm-hmm. people, the body, right? Yeah. He said living a lukewarm life is like us being in a relationship with somebody, a girl. Mm-hmm. And like, hey, yeah, we can get married, mm-hmm. but on weekends, I'm going to go be with that person.
I remember saying that, yeah.
On weekends, I'm going to go be with that person. I'm going to go be with my ex. I'm going to go be with this side chick. And you have me Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, put that in perspective with God. Being lukewarm is like telling God, Sunday is our day.
Mm-hmm.
We got Bob Sunday on Monday. Yeah. Monday is our day. Mm-hmm. We do podcasts on Wednesday. Wednesday is our day, God.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Thursday, all the other days, that's my time for the world.
Yeah.
So put that in your own perspective. That is what lukewarm looks like. And mm-hmm. we don't look at it like this, but we have to, because Christ said we're the bridegroom. So being lukewarm, all it is cheating on God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if you actually go back and read the scriptures, he calls us adulterous, because he's saying like, you know, I'm coming back to marry y'all. And even though I have not came yet, that does not mean that you go see others, that you have mm-hmm. relationship with others when I've called mm-hmm. you to be fully developed and fully devoted to me. So yeah. I just love the way he break that down.
Oh, no. Ain't no so, yeah. Keep going. I'm listening. It's your episode.
Oh, no. I just checked.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah.
And I think another way that you can look at it in a practical way, the story of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the story of fence. For those that haven't heard, I know a lot of y'all have yeah. heard the story. But for those that who haven't heard it, it's a story about a guy that was sitting on a fence, and somebody walked up to the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody walked up to the guy and asked him what side he's going to be on.
Yeah.
And the guy said, I'm not going to choose either side. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to sit right here. And he broke it down in a way of asking, like, when you don't choose a side, you're choosing the devil's side yeah. still. Like, you're choosing the devil's side regardless. If you don't choose a side, you're still choosing in a way.
Yeah.
Because you didn't choose God's side.
And there's only one side.
There's only one side.
Yeah.
There's only one side.
And I think I said in one of the episodes, I said being lukewarm or being in the middle is like, because at the end of the day, we're fighting a spiritual war. It's like mm-hmm. being in the middle. You're in the middle of the battleground.
Mm-hmm.
And you look to that side, you look to your left, you see an army. You look to the right, you see an army. And you're saying, I'm not with nobody.
Okay.
Well, you better get ran over. It's either you choose or you get removed. Like, yeah. You're saying, you about to get put down. So, and, as funny as that sounds, that's so real, because we're in the middle of a battleground, and you're basically mm-hmm. saying, it's like, okay, I'm not fully with y'all.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying I'm with y'all either. Mm-hmm. But honestly, you're communicating something without using words that, okay, you're with neither of us.
Yeah, like.
So ultimately, you're against us.
That's literally the same.
Ultimately.
If you're not with us, you're against us. Yes. Simple as that.
But yeah, I'm gonna read this verse from Revelation, because there's so many verses about being lukewarm. This is Revelation 3, chapter 15. It says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
He's, boy, this is so crazy. Actually, listen to what God's saying, though. He's saying, instead of being lukewarm, I'd rather you be fully devoted to
yeah. Pick one.
I'd rather you choose a side than you to be lukewarm.
Yeah.
He says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's scary. That's actually scary. Like, actually, it's really scary. It's really scary. And I think mostly the main reason that we are, or the most reason that we live a lukewarm life without actually saying it mm-hmm. is because we haven't fully surrendered certain areas of our mm-hmm. life to God. And the main reason we haven't fully surrendered areas of our life to God is, for one, like we always say, we don't want to yet.
Yeah.
Like we always say, sin feels good in the moment. And I think we have to come to a realization that, for one, that we desire God more than whatever else is keeping us from him. Mm-hmm. I realize that a lot of times, because I said one of the signs of that you are lukewarm is that you lack conviction from the Holy Spirit. God bless the train. Let's clap it up for the train. But nah, I said one of the signs that you are lukewarm is that you lack conviction from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I fall and when I sin, I beat myself up so bad.
Bro.
But then I come to the realization sometimes I'd be like, after the fact, I'd be like, God, I just thank you that I'm glad I still feel bad.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I'm not saying, I'm not happy I sinned, but yeah. I'm happy that your now spirit hasn't left me.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of us, to get over that hump of being mm-hmm. lukewarm, what is the Holy Spirit convicting you of right now in this moment? You know, mm-hmm. what is he telling you? Like, you know, give that to me.
Yeah.
You've been struggling with that for a long time. Mm-hmm. Give that to me. Because I know for me in my personal life, well, in general, in anybody's life, there's a lot of giants that we have to fight in private. Mm-hmm. I feel like God just keeps giving me stones to defeat different giants, yeah. different giants. Some may be bigger than the other. Mm-hmm. And it's like God saying like, yo, we gonna get through this. Like, you yeah. know what I'm saying? Keep bringing it to me. Keep bringing it to me. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we become lukewarm is when we don't want to bring it to God.
Yeah.
We like the giant mm-hmm. or we like whatever it may be, and we don't want to fully surrender it, you know? Mm-hmm. So what you think about that?
I think that falls into like the aspect of love the world. And mm-hmm. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For mm-hmm. when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you.
Yeah.
And it also says, verse 16, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see yeah. and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world.
Yeah.
Verse 17, and this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever.
Mm.
So in saying that, God bless the training once again. But in saying that, I think it goes along with the aspect of how do we love God more than we love the world? Do we yeah. love God more than we love the pleasures of the world? Not even realizing that the pleasures of the world is temporary. Like,
yeah.
loving God is showing that you want an everlasting life. It's mm-hmm. like, God, I love you so much that I understand that what's of this world is temporary. I can't bring it with me when I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
When you take me up, I can't yeah. bring it with me. So I'm storing up my treasures up in heaven.
Yeah.
Because that's everlasting. That's eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I so focused on trying to please myself in the world when it's not my purpose to please myself in the world at all. Yeah. It's meant for me to please God through my actions within this world. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be a light, yeah. not a darkness. So going back to what you said, though, it's a long train. Yeah. Going back to what you said, though, in the aspect of, yep, lost it. Lost it, bro.
No, you're good.
Gone.
No, but this is my thought. Real talk. Back on the relationship thing. In regards to the problem with me being devoted to God on one day and it being devoted to the world on another day, both parties are not getting the full you. So think about it. You have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are devoted to her one day and devoted to another thing on another day, she's not getting the full you.
Yeah, she's not getting the full what you already agreed to.
Yes.
Like when we get baptized, we're agreeing that God, I give you my life.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's a covenant. We make a, we come into covenant relationship mm-hmm. with God. And a lot of us, first and foremost, I love that John Bevere said that we must have, well, one of the scriptures says that we must be holy. That way we can see the Lord. And a lot of us have reached a ceiling in our peak or our relationship with Christ because it's certain things that we have not surrendered to him yet. Yeah. And he's like, okay, go ahead, give that to me because there's a barrier that I want you to cross. And a lot of us are not experiencing his tangible presence how we want to, because we kind of put a cap on, yeah, God, you can have that. Mm-hmm. You can have that. I'm not going to give you this.
Yeah.
One of the things that I realized at our house, we have candles in our room, and I always come to CL's room to get the lighter to light the candle.
Let me tell you something.
This might sound bad. Y'all might cook me. I just realized that you're not supposed to blow candles out. I realized that recently. Yeah. You put the lid on it, and then I realized the quickest way to put a fire out is to put a lid on it. Mm-hmm. And that's what many of us do in our relationship with Christ, is that we put a lid on God. We put a lid on what he wants to do. And that's why our fire always dwindles out. That's why the reverence and different things like that, it always dwindles because we put a lid on God. You know, it's like, okay, God, this is where we are. I'm not giving you that. I'm not giving you this. This is where we're going to go. And we become so comfortable with the routine of just reading our Bibles and doing this and doing that. But realizing that, and this is what I have to realize also, that just being a good person is not going to get you into heaven.
Facts.
Just being a good person is not going to get you into heaven. I have to realize that myself. Like, just because I've done good deeds, that does not mean nothing if you have not lived a life that was an example of Christ, a holy life, a blameless life, a righteous life. And at times it can be hard. It can be hard, but that was the whole purpose of God sending us the Holy Spirit, because it is possible through him, not through our own flesh. That's why Paul says, you know, in my weakness, you are made strong, Lord, because we're not able to get ourselves right. We're not able to make ourselves more like Christ without the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, he told the disciples, it's good that I leave because I'm sending somebody else to help you. If Jesus didn't leave, because we always talk about Jesus down on the cross, which is great, but nobody really talks about the greatness of him leaving. We was able to receive a helper. Mm-hmm. We was able to receive a comforter. We was able to receive the great one, the one that rose him from the dead, now lives in us. Now we have strength and power to overcome these sins and put to death the flesh and crucify the flesh through the Holy Spirit. So I think it's a matter of fully surrendering to the Spirit, because you have it in you, but it's a matter of you giving that to him, because we keep trying to do it in our own will. It's like, nah, it ain't working.
It's crazy because, like, you know how Dad always says that Holy Spirit is basically like the our divine advantage, basically. Divine edge.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, I'm over here thinking about it while you was talking, like, imagine if we never had that advantage. Mm-hmm. Like, we never have the one thing that helps us be stronger, become better, become more wise, more understanding, and have the revelations that we have and help us apply in different areas of our life. Like when you said earlier, like, when you basically don't feel conviction at all anymore, like, when you don't even feel a correction from the Holy Spirit in a way, like, that's a scary life to live. Like, I'm not getting corrected by nobody. Like, I'm out here just wilding. That means I'm not a threat to the devil no more.
Yeah.
Like, really think about that. Like, if the Holy Spirit's not correcting you, you are not a threat at all. You fell right into the game plan of the devil. You fell right into his lap, and you're right where he wants you to be. Mm-hmm. You're in a cage with an open door.
Yeah.
Don't even know the door open. Don't even know you're in a cage. Like, that's crazy work, bro.
And I think we have to move, and something I've been praying is, like, did I move in pace with the Holy Spirit? Did I move in the same pace as God? So meaning, while he is convicting me of these things, that I move at his pace and not put him off, like we said at the beginning of the episode. Because sometimes we can't always think, like, you know, it's gonna come a day where I'm gonna get it right, God, or I'm gonna stop doing that, you know, say I'm gonna stop going there. But God's looking like, no, the time is now. And I realized that in order for us to even go to new levels and new heights, God can't even trust us with certain things until we fully surrender to him.
Facts.
Because of our flesh and different things like that. God can never trust us with certain things, because it's like, you know, you're wishy-washy. You're devoted to me one day and you're not. You're inconsistent. You're unfaithful. And it's like, you choose me when you feel good. It's like, what if God did that to us? What if God blessed us when he felt good? What if God only protected us when he felt good? What if God only kept us and provided for us only when he felt like it? And he doesn't. He's a faithful God. He's a just God. He never returns back on his word. Even when we sin, even when we go the other way, he still wakes us up this morning. Even when we disobey, he still blesses us. He's opened doors for us. Grace. He keeps us. And all he's asking for in return is that we give our lives fully in devotion and surrenderance to him. It's like, is that too much to ask for? You know, bro, in return for me laying my life down, is that too much to ask for? That I took your place on the cross. I took your penalty. I took your your sentence that you were supposed to do. I took that. Now, is it too much for me to ask for that you just give me yourself? All I ask for in return is just a relationship with you, that you devote your life to me, that you give me your gifts, that you give me your talents, that you give me your life, your bodies, and all that stuff in response to what I've done for you. Mm-hmm. Is that too much to ask for? And I think it's just, honestly, it's just a lack of reverence. It's a lack of fear of God, because sometimes we, in the Christian community, we can overemphasize grace and not overemphasize his holiness. We can overemphasize his grace and not overemphasize that, okay, at the same time, yes, God is gracious, but he's also just. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's a righteous God. He's also a faithful God. He's also he's a holy God. And we must be that so that we can see him. So I feel like we have to first get a reverence of God. And I pray about this in my own life, because sometimes when I get in those cycles of sinning and sinning and sinning, I come to realize that whatever area of my life that may be, I lack reverence for God in that area of my life. I don't fear God in the way. I'm not talking about I'm scared of God fear. No, I love God so much. I don't even want nothing to do with that if that's going to keep me from it. I lack reverence in that area of my life. Mm-hmm. So how can you surrender that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That brings me back to, you know how at the end of church, Dad would ask if you're a backslider or anything. Like, so for people that backslide or that may fall into sin, do you think a reason why they end up becoming lukewarm is because they're more so afraid of the discipline that comes with going to God about it?
Yeah, a little bit. But on the other side of that, I think most people are just comfortable.
So, okay.
I think it's because, okay, let's go. Let's go ahead and hop into it. Because God talks about, he said, if any man wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and walk. Picking up your cross is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. There's a cross on your back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're walking with a cross on your back, denying yourself, meaning I renounce myself. I renounce my former life. I renounce my former self to the world. And I'm saying, God, for God I live, for God I die. Whatever you want to do, we can do. That's uncomfortable, first and foremost. So most people, I think this is why God says the gate to hell is wide.
Yeah.
The gate to everlasting life or to heaven is narrow. Because most people are, and we talked about in the last episode, that people want to avoid. Mm-hmm. People are not used to being uncomfortable. So many people go that way because it's easier. You know how easy it is to sin?
Listen. First of all, it's easier to sin. It's a natural way to sin.
Yes, and it's easier to sin than live for God.
Yes.
And that's why most of us go that way. But you have to realize that you have a helper. That's the other point. You have to realize that you have a helper. But yeah, I think most people stay in the lukewarm phase because they want to and they're comfortable right there. And I think another way that you can see that your life is lukewarm is that you seek God for things. That's first and foremost. I forgot that one. You seek God for things. You pray, you read when you want to feel better.
Yeah.
But you don't pray and read or worship for full change, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So most people go open their Bible because they want something, or they open their Bible because that's the right thing to do. But there should come a point where in a relationship. So think about it like this. Let's put it in simple terms. When you're in a relationship with a girl, you don't bring flowers because you have to.
You know.
You bring flowers because I want to. The more we grow in a relationship is the more I want to start doing good things for you. The more I want to start being generous. The more I want to start devoting my time to you. The more I want to start being intimate with you. And it's the same way with God, that it's like, okay, the more I grow closer to him is the more I just want to start doing things for him. Mm-hmm. Not to follow the law or want to do good deeds for him, but in response to his sacrifice, in response to how good he's been, you want to do stuff. You want to lay your life down. And I feel like most of us just do stuff out of obligation. And it don't hold no weight. And that's why God can't get some of us to be intimate, if that makes sense. Yeah.
So I guess another way to, excuse me, I guess another way to like look at it in a way is asking ourselves, do we really love the Lord? Like, do we really love God? Because if we really love God, if we really want him to change our lives, we'll obey his commandments, we'll obey his instructions that he has for us, and we'll be openly and willingly to follow what things he's taking off of us, what he's pruning off, no matter like who it is, what it is, whatever the vice is, whatever God is removing from your life, it's the reason why he's removing it, because in some way or some form, you're basically putting that above him.
Mm-hmm.
If he's removing it, it's been in front of him before, basically.
Yeah.
So that's something that he's been doing in my life as well. Like, I'm realizing that little subtle things I'll have in front of him, it'll be like, dang, I didn't even know I was putting that in front of you, God. Mm-hmm. Like, just in general, like, just little practical stuff. And when you realize that, bro, it's like you have to come to the heart posture of, God, I love you so much that I'm willing to let you just take, like, cut off whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, cut it from the root. And you have to have the mindset of your treasures in heaven versus what pleases you in the world. Because your flesh not going to ever give you nothing. Like, it's not getting anything. It's temporary.
Yeah. And I think also another thing is because we have to shift our perspective in general, because we feel like the life God is calling us to live, well, immature people feel like the life that God's calling us to live is burdensome or boring.
Yeah.
We say, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So you have to realize that the full surrenderance to God, the full life that God's calling you to live, would be the best life for you. Yeah. It would be the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. On the other side of that struggle is the best version of you. Mm-hmm. On the other side of that addiction is the best version of you. But some of us sit there because it's just so comfortable. Like, like if God can show us the future you and the version of yourself that you could truly be right now, you would have been stopped doing certain things. You would have been let certain things go because, like, oh, God, you, that's who I'm going to be like when I get to that point. So it's like we have to see it from that perspective as well, that everything God is calling us to do or to stop or to start is for our benefit. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I want to tap into, and we talk about this all the time as well, and something that's been overemphasized in this season of our life, especially we talked about it with our dad and we talked about it with ourselves as well as brothers, is that we talked about how living a lukewarm life and not living out what you live or what you say in public and not living it out in private, it deters your witness. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit.
Hey, listen. Go back to the scripture real quick. First Timothy chapter 4. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to say this one. And I'm going to say the Hebrews one again.
Yeah.
But First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say and the way you live and your love, your faith, and your purity.
Yeah.
And then Hebrews 12... and one says, Hebrews 12 and 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. But I like how it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down.
Yeah.
So like every weight of the world that will keep you away from God's presence, from that will keep you away from worshiping God, that will keep you away from reflecting God in your lifestyle needs to be stripped off.
Yeah.
Anything that's holding you away from giving God the glory in the situation. If you're getting the glory in the situation, you probably don't need to be doing it.
Yeah.
You probably don't need to be there. You probably don't need to be in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
If what you're doing does not reflect God, that's your way of judging. Do I need to be here? Do I need to be doing this? Is this the right thing to be doing?
Yeah.
Because that's how you're going to be able to gauge it too. Because if it doesn't reflect God, if it's not giving God the glory, and if it's not putting a smile on God's face, who is it putting a smile on?
Yeah.
Who is it glorifying? Who is it reflecting? Because it's not God. Mm-hmm. I love how Ephesians 4 and 1 says, live a life worthy of your calling.
Yeah.
And whatever your calling is, you have to live and lead in that lifestyle of that, because people won't be willing to follow you or hear what you have to say unless you're living it or leading it.
Yes.
So that's why I love that scripture so much.
It's a scripture that I'm looking for right now. Hold on. To what I just asked you.
Try to figure out, do I have another one?
Okay, Romans 2 and 16, it says, and this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's private life.
Hello.
And that's, you know what I'm saying? And that's humbling to most of us, because I hear a lot of people say, if God was to put a big projector right here, and show everything that we have done in private. And not just because some people may say, well, I don't do certain things in private. If he showed your thoughts.
Yeah.
If he showed your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Just some, you may not have acted out on anything, but your thoughts are bad. Mm-hmm. Your heart is bad. Jealousy, envy, anger, all of that. If God was to show that right there for the whole room to see, everybody in this room would be embarrassed by something.
Yes.
On everything I
for
love.
For sure.
Everybody would be embarrassed by something.
For sure.
That they didn't want somebody else to see or somebody else to know about. So we got to keep that in account with God. And that's something I happen to realize, is that who I am in private is really who I am. Mm-hmm. And that's the life that God is going to judge, not the life that people see me by. So on social media, on podcasts, on all of that, God is not going to judge me according to that. He's going to judge me according to who was I in private? Who was I when the door was shut? Who was I when the camera was off? Who was I when the YouTube account was off, when the Instagram was off, when the social media shut down? Who are you outside of this, you know? And that's why I'm trying to, and a good area to start if you are lukewarm, first and foremost, is to fast and pray, because that's where, while you can, you want to fast and pray so that you got to bring your flesh into subjection to God's will. You got to starve your flesh so that you can look more like Christ, so that you can be more like Christ. So every area, if you look in the mirror and you see an area of life that does not look like God, that's an area you need to surrender to God. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to follow the Spirit's leading in every area where he's convicted me yet and fully like give that over to him.
Mm-hmm. A scripture to go to what you just said was from David in Psalms 101, verse 2. It says, I'll be careful to live a blameless life. This is like a song to God, yeah. Right? He's saying, I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. And I had wrote down, who are you when you are by yourself?
Yeah.
Who are you when no one else is around?
Yeah.
And then to go back to what you said about the like your mind, mm-hmm. your heart and everything, Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this yeah. world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll be able to test and improve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Yeah.
But as you can see, it says, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind. So like you say, even if you're not acting on it physically,
yeah.
your mind still has to be renewed into the thoughts of God, not the thoughts of this world.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're still having negative thoughts, if you're still having lustful thoughts, if you're still having thoughts that's not reflecting of God, that's still a sign that you need to
yes.
shift your thinking. You need to shift your mindset onto things of God and not this world.
And that's the thing I love about that verse, about mm-hmm. the renewing of your mind, because we have to renew our minds in all aspects. So yes. meaning how we look at sin, mm-hmm. how we look at everything, because we may just think God just doesn't want us to sin, mm-hmm. but you have to logically think about it. Sin just separates us from God. Go back to the mm-hmm. garden. When they sinned, because remember, it says God was walking with man. He was walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He was walking with them in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. When they sinned, that's when God, they separated. They received death, which was separation from God. And every time we sin, what do we feel like? We're separated from God. And you have to look at it from that perspective. God's not yes. just telling you, I don't want you to do this. No, he's telling you for your benefit, because all it does is pull us. Mm-hmm. It pulls us far away. The more I spend time with this thing over my relationship, whoever I may be in a relationship with, is the more we pull away from each other. Is the more we will, I won't know that person like I used to. It would be an area right there was like, okay, when you start acting like this, you know what I'm saying? I'm not used to that. I'm not used to this because you haven't been spending time with me. You don't even know who I am anymore, you know? So we have to realize it on that aspect that everything God is telling us not to do is for our benefit. And we also have to come to grips with, especially the new Christians and people that are on this walk, and as teachers in general, not just new Christians, but teachers and preachers, we have to do a better job with conveying to these people that hell is real. Like hell is real. No, for real. I think that's another part. It's because we see God, and this is why you have to read the Old Testament and the New Testament. Mm-hmm. You have to read both, because some people could say, you know, why? What's the purpose of reading the Old Testament? But it's because you get to see God's character. Like, mm-hmm. you get to see his character where it's certain stories you read in the Bible and you're like, yo,
God. Was on God. 10.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You read certain things in the Bible. For example, it's a story in Exodus where Moses had went up to the mountain and God was like, if any man comes near this mountain, they will die. Like,
out of here.
That's harsh. Like, that's actually harsh. During the story of Passover, and this is something that I learned in my study time. That's why you got to study the Bible. Like, it's good. Something I learned
for yourself.
In the story of Passover, during the Israelites' exit out of Egypt,
mm-hmm.
the Lord said he was going to send a plague on all the firstborn sons of all the Egyptians, Pharaoh's son included.
Mm-hmm.
And he told the Israelites that all of them had to go and get an animal mm-hmm. and kill it and put the blood on the doorpost, because I'm going to sweep through and I'm going to kill mm-hmm. all the firstborn sons. And if you have that blood on your doorpost, I'm going to pass over you,
mm-hmm.
which was a shadow or a depiction of Christ Jesus putting his blood over us and passing mm-hmm. over us
yes.
from the guilt of our sins and different things like that. But what I learned was at the festival of Passover, after that happened, I was reading it. I was like, God, he kind of strict in some of these things he was saying. He told them, it was one thing I was laughing in my devotional time, because he told them, he said, during the festival of Passover, you must have no yeast on your bread. Mm-hmm. You must have no yeast on your bread. If any family has yeast in their bread, they must surely die. And I'm reading it. I'm like, dang, like, he's snapping. He on 10.
Not going for nothing.
As I started reading it, yeast was a shadow of sin.
Got you.
That's why it says in the Bible, it's a scripture that says a little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. And it talks about how a little yeast, as it mm-hmm. spreads, it messes up the whole loaf of bread. Mm-hmm. Yeast is just, in the Old Testament, is a shadow of sin or impurity.
Break it down, brother.
And that's why God was saying during the Passover feast, there must be no yeast. Meaning, mm-hmm. in the New Testament terms, when I come back, there must be no sin. This is after the Passover. Mm-hmm. There must be no sin. There must be no blemish. There must be no yeast. Mm-hmm. Meaning any unclean thing or any evil thing that would separate us from God. Mm-hmm. That's just something that I found while I was reading the Old Testament. And that's something that I was like, wow, like, you would think, like, why is God, he just being a harsh God? He's saying no yeast. No, like, this was a shadow of what was to come. Mm-hmm. So you have to, You have to grow a reverence. I said all that to say you have to grow a reverence and an awe for God. And you do that by reading more about him, reading more about his character, and not just learning about his loving traits, but also learning about how he corrected some of these characters in the Bible. Learning about, facts. Like, for example, we talk about how great a leader Moses was. Moses wasn't able to go in the promised land. Mm. There's repercussions to every single thing. He said, no, you can't go in because you was disobedient.
You can see it.
I'm going to let you see it, but you can't go in.
Yeah.
Same thing with David. Mm-hmm. He said, I like that you want to build me a temple, but your hands are dirty. Yep. So your son's going to build it. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So in the same aspect, we have to read about these different characters. We have to learn about these different characters and see the character of God. The God, he is gracious. God mm-hmm. is merciful, but God also hates sin mm-hmm. because sin separates us from him. And we must realize that if there is a heaven, there is a hell. There is a place where he talks about us being the sons of wrath or the sons of the enemy. You know, mm-hmm. I would hate to be called that. And every time that we sin, we prove the enemy right. And that's scary. Like, that's scary. Right. And that's why we must fast. That's why we must pray. That's why we must continue to seek God's face. I seen a video on Instagram where this dude was like, if you're struggling, that's good. Like, that's a sign because it's a war. Like Romans says, it's a war. The flesh always wants to do what's hostile to God. Mm-hmm. It always wants to do what's against God. So if you're wrestling, that's good. You just need to fully surrender because the fight's not yours. Mm-hmm. You need to fully surrender that fight over to God. That shows that you want to do good. That shows that you want to be right. That shows that you want to be more like Christ. Mm-hmm. But if you keep trying to fight with your own hands, you're not going to ever win the fight, you know?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Marlon just got his soul back.
Now that's Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Nah, keep teaching, brother. Yeah, listen.
Oh, no. Really.
I wanted to... Everything you just said, that was good, brother. Listen. Every time, you just... Holy Spirit just be like, here, go ahead. Nah. I can't. The way you brought that down, though, like the yeast aspect and everything, it's crazy how many ways like the Bible just ties different things in.
Every single
thing. I love how the Bible just does that. You'll have a whole all moment. You'll be like, oh. Go back to this. I just read that last week, and now to tie back into this, you'd be so excited, bro. And I wanted to tap into the one of the things we said about being lukewarm mm-hmm. with the aspect where I said like the fourth thing of leaning more towards what you want to do versus what God has told you to do mm-hmm. in the aspect. And I remember one of our old podcast topics was I think it was titled like telling God to stay home, something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember I was saying how we'll get so confident in doing what we want to do or feel like we got momentum to the point where it feel like, oh, life going so good, God, I don't need you no more.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's like another sign of being lukewarm because it's like, all right, you basically only been using God to get you back in a good space. And now you feel like you don't need him no more, so you put it to the side. Mm-hmm. And I get the analogy of like leaving the house without your armor on. Mm-hmm. It's like, since you feel like you all big and bad, you done basically put down your armor and said, all right, God, I don't need your shield. I don't need your protection.
Yeah.
I don't need you when I'm going to the world. And every time you go out into the world with no shield on, what happens? You get smacked all in the face.
Every single time.
Every single time with no defense.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about Ephesians 6, mm-hmm. verse 10 through 13, because it talks about the armor of God.
Yeah.
And basically it says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against mm-hmm. all strategies of the devil.
Yeah.
Put on all God's armor.
Yeah.
And our problem is we'll get so comfortable mm-hmm. and where we are, we'll start taking the armor off.
Yeah.
Take off different things and everything because we feel like we're good now.
Yes.
You'll never be good.
No.
You'll never be good.
No.
The devil's going to always find a way. And let me tell you something. The devil's strategic. He's patient. And he'll wait. He's willing to wait for you to get comfortable and to mess up one time just so he can slither in.
Yeah, because you lose when you drop the sword.
Yes.
Every single time. Why would you drop your weapon?
What are you doing?
And the weapon in our aspect is reading, is praying, is worshiping. Why would you stop just because you're on a
good
people like to say hot streak?
Or you're charged.
There's no such thing as hot. When you're walking with Christ, there's no such thing as a hot streak. Like, you shouldn't even. And I started off, I fell prey to this. I started off mm-hmm. like, I would count the days that I didn't sin, if that makes sense. I'm sure most of y'all can relate.
No cap.
Y'all can relate to
I'm
where
a crazy
when you were struggling with something and you're like, you know, I've been this many days, I haven't done this, I haven't drunk, I haven't did this, I haven't mm-hmm. I haven't watched pornography, I haven't had negative thoughts, I haven't been fearful, I haven't mm-hmm. experienced anxiety, whatever. And we'll count the days and then we just end up falling. Because the whole purpose is not so that you can count the days and not sin, but that you look at Jesus. And the more you keep your eyes on him is the more you just stop on his own. And I realized that every time that I fell into sin is because I dropped my weapon. Like, every single time I dropped my sword. I stopped praying. I got too comfortable. I got laxed. I stopped going deeper. And I talked about that. It's just power in showing up. Like, even when you don't feel nothing, it's power in reading your word every day. It's power in praying every day. It's power in fasting. Even when you feel like you don't feel anything, you have to realize that these things are only for our benefit. And another thing on that aspect of not being lukewarm, not even just on the aspect that we should not be lukewarm just because God said don't be, but as a Christian, and look at it from a relationship perspective, when you're lukewarm, you don't get the full benefits.
Facts.
You don't get wife benefits from a girl you don't treat her like a wife.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get wife benefits from that.
Facts.
So how would I get full benefits from God if I don't treat him fully like we're in a full relationship? I'm not going to get the full benefits. I'm not going to get everything that he has for me in that aspect. You can't even expect it. So we have to realize as well that when you're living a lukewarm lifestyle, you're not getting every benefit of God. Like, there's so many things that God wants to do in your life that you can't experience. You can't experience his full presence. You can't experience that full sensitivity to the Spirit is because you haven't fully surrendered to him. So as well, like, if you crave to go to another level in your relationship with God, another level of intimacy, another level of just fire with God and just feeling his manifested presence, you have to realize that you must be holy, you must be righteous, and there's a certain level of crucifying your flesh that you have to do for you to fully see him in certain areas of your life. Yeah.
I like the analogy of you said, like, why would I put my sword down? Mm. Like, you putting your sword down is basically like giving like a big flag to the devil, like, come get me. Like, I'm here. Like, and I don't really like the mindset that we have when it comes to, like you said, like, we'll get comfortable and everything. Yeah. Or we'll get on the street to the point where it's like, oh yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. There it is, right there. I was looking for it. Putting your sword down is like charging your phone one time and thinking it's going to stay charged the whole week.
Literally.
It's like thinking that your phone going to stay on 100.
Now you got to come back. You got to tap back into the source.
You got to plug back in.
Yeah.
You got to plug back in.
Mm-hmm.
Putting your sword down is adding you're not going to have to get, you don't have to get charged back up. Putting your sword down is like getting poured into and thinking you're just going to stay filled. You're just going to stay full.
Yeah.
After you done poured out to a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
Nah, your cup's empty now. It's time to get poured back into.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's the same thing, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it keeps going. And our mindset has to always be, all right, God, I'm charged up. How can I stay charged up?
Yeah.
How can I stay in connection with you? How can I stay connected to the vine? How can I stay so connected to you that I don't even let nothing else get in the way of me and your connection? Like, I want to stay powered up the whole time. If I could keep my phone plugged into a wall, I would.
Yeah.
I can't see my phone about to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nah, keep that thing charged up. But a way to do that is to stay in your word, stay in worship, stay in prayer, stay in a surrendering state, like, of God, I serve you, keeping your eyes on Jesus. All your trials and obstacles in the world, they won't be able to overwhelm you as bad when your eyes are on Jesus, because Jesus, you know he's going to take care of you. He has you. As long as you're making his business your business, he's going to take care of your business.
And on that note, what you said about not tapping in with the source and not plugging your phone up, you have to realize as well that everything the devil does, he does in legal right.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning when we sin, we give him legal authorization for things to happen in our life.
Yeah.
When we sin, we open the door. For example, when you have sex, you have the possibility of something happening, right?
Yes.
You have the possibility of conceiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you do certain things, when you sin, you open certain doors. You give him legal right to come into your house because you left the door open.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to realize that as well. Because I got to a point where I was going through certain things. It's like, you know, because as Christians, we love to call certain things persecution. Like, no, you're not being persecuted. Yeah. This is a consequence of your sin. this is a consequence of your sin. I had to realize that. Like, no, this is a consequence of your sin. You know what I'm saying? You open the door to certain things. Now, it's become a giant. It's become Goliath.
Yeah.
And now you have to put it down. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So we have to realize that as well, is that sin is really just opening the door for the enemy and his troops to come in and have their way, like, in your camp. And Our bodies are temples. Our bodies are houses and homes to the Holy Spirit. So why would we even want to indulge in certain things that defile him or grieve him? And that's why a lot of times we don't fully experience the full benefit or the full fruit of the Holy Spirit is because he's underneath all of the junk in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's there. He didn't leave you. But the more you're sinning, you're piling stuff on top of him. And then you expect him to show up. Like, you just expect him to show up. Expect him to show up on Sunday. You just expect him. That's, again, back to the girlfriend analogy. We live for the world every day of the week. Then on Sunday, you expect to come to church and just have a crazy experience with God. But it's like, you know, what have you been filling yourself up
All week?
All week.
All week.
The Holy Spirit will make manifest. He will come. Mm-hmm. He will manifest his presence. But what have you been filling yourself up with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how you said the analogy of like letting the devil in your camp.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like letting, like, think about it in sports terms. That's like you had a Super Bowl going on and you let someone, matter of fact, no, boxing. Let's think about boxing. Yeah. And matter of fact, Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia about to fight coming up and everything. Think about an aspect of Ryan Garcia's camp. His camp is supposed to be secluded away from Devin Haney's camp. Yeah. So where they both working out, but neither one of them can see what they're doing, what they're planning for, or how they're strategizing for each other. Yeah. Like when they fight, when they come on fight day. That's like Ryan Garcia's camp having a spy in Devin Haney's
that's
camp.
That's good.
And basically like telling them every move that's about to go on. Mm-hmm. But it's like the enemy's basically like deceiving you in a way at the same time. It's like, yo, why? Like, how'd you get in here?
Because he's not all knowing. Yeah. He's not omnipresent. Yes. He only feeds off of our actions.
Yes.
So like how Dad says, when we talked about the bait of Satan, he feeds off of, he baits you and you try to see, okay, what bait are they taking? That way I can know what to send you next. Yes. So it's legal right. Mm-hmm. He's giving, we're giving him the playbook, like you're saying. We're giving him the whole playbook. Hey, here's our play.
Bro, for those that watch Marvel, it brings me like to my remembrance. It's like a part in Captain America. It was the first Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before he became a super soldier. He was in the machine, right? And it was a dude that was in the back, like just hovering behind everybody. check me out. He's blended in with everybody.
Yeah.
And while everybody's taking notes, he over there taking notes and everything. He takes his glasses off. And once he sees what he needs to see and finds out the time where he needs to execute, he then, while everybody's guards down, he executes and takes everybody out in the building.
Yeah.
It's like the devil can work in the same way. He's so strategic that you won't even see that he's there.
Yeah.
He's just waiting for you to make one wrong move.
Yeah.
As soon as Captain America got put in that the machine and he couldn't get out of there, he made his move, shot up everybody in
when
the jump.
When you're vulnerable.
Like, think about that. Like, the devil know when to make a move.
Because sin makes us vulnerable, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to know, keep that shield up.
Yeah.
Keep that sword up. Keep God in the forefront.
Yeah.
God in your steps. And then when you learn, like, John Revere's book, The Bait of Satan and everything, or...
The Law of God.
Off guy, and it's another book called
by John Brevere.
Not by John Brevere. What's the other book?
Winning the War in Your Mind.
That too, man. That's a lot of books.
Keep going.
It's something about the devil.
It's a outwitting the devil.
Outwitting the devil. Yes, like when you get to know like the strategies of the devil, it basically helps prepare you more for the obstacles that come within this world and what comes with you living a lifestyle for God, because the devil doesn't like that we're living a lifestyle for God.
Yeah, and. That's a good note. I'm glad you brought that point, because the whole purpose of the devil is because he's in hell. Yeah. He's going to be there regardless. Mm-hmm. Eternal damnation. Mm-hmm. And he's upset about that because God is so gracious and merciful to us. Mm-hmm. So he wants to bring as many of us with him. And that's why he tries to deceive us. And that's why he tries to get us to think like, oh, we could just have fun on this earth, not realizing that there's life after this. We will be judged by our private lives, like that verse said. And I think that's another reason, one of the most important reasons that we shouldn't live a lukewarm life, is because for one, we won't ever reach the lives or show the true reflection of Christ to unbelievers.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? How can we really help them if we look like them in certain ways? And I think that's actually another way that you could tell if you're lukewarm is that I seen on the list, it said that you're not pressed upon sharing the gospel with other people. And a lot of times it's an unsaid or uncommunicated thing that we don't share the gospel is because we really live the same life as some of these people. So it's like, how can I show you what the benefit of living for Christ is if I'm living the same life as you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how would this life even look beneficial to you? If I'm doing the same thing as you, what would make them want Christ?
Nothing.
What would make them fully want Christ if I'm living the same life as them? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't see nothing over there that I want.
Make it more practical. Like how, I mean, we don't, but in a way of how like our community looks up to rappers and stuff, like, because the lifestyle they're living, they're making it pleasing to our eye of a lifestyle that we potentially want to live. The cars, the money, the fame, et cetera, et cetera. Like, how are we doing that for God, for Christ, like for his kingdom? Like, how are we making the kingdom look, what's the word? Pleasing or look like attainable to them.
And it only looks pleasing or attainable when there's fruit.
Yes.
But a lot of us in the Christian world have no good fruit on our trees. And that's a root problem. That's something that we have to get down to the bottom of, because there are seasons where we were producing fruit, but now we're not. And That like that's actually because like, you should know a tree by its fruit. Mm-hmm. So you should know whose tree you are by the fruit that you have been producing. And I love that while we was at Bible study, we talked about the fruits of the spirit and what fruit are you producing and what things and what deeds are you bringing about? And a lot of people will be able to tell whose we are by the fruit that we are bearing. Mm-hmm. So we're bearing the same fruit as those other people that are in the world. Why would they even want to be a part? Why would they want to be a part? If our fruit don't look better than theirs, you know what I'm saying?
There's nothing that's going to keep them there. There's nothing that's going to keep them with the excitement or the curiosity to be like, okay, maybe I do want to live that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Maybe I do want to follow that instead or let this thing go to go over there.
Yeah.
And when you don't have the imagery or the lifestyle or the reverence that you have for Christ to really be able to show that and articulate it in the right way, my fat relationship, if you really don't have that relationship with Christ to really show that in the right way, then you'll never be able to steer them in the direction they need to get to because you yourself aren't doing what you need to do as well. Yeah. So yeah, that's something that we definitely need to work on as a community for sure.
Last thing, I just want to read this. I want to read this story. It's the parable of the 10 bridesmaids in Matthew 25. I think it's a great story.
Hey boy.
I'm going to start from verse 1. It says, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus. Verse 2, 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps. But the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep." And that's many of us today where we haven't seen Jesus come yet. A lot of us are drowsy. We leave our posts and we fall asleep. And fall asleep spiritually. Verse 6, it says, "At midnight, they were roused by the shout. Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." Verse 7, "All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves.' Verse 10, but while they were gone to buy the oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return.'" And I think that's just many of us even now in our relationships with God is that we just keep trying to put it off. We keep trying to put it off. We keep trying to put it off. And it's like, as cliche as it may sound, there really is going to be a rapture. There really is going to be a day where you can't get right with God. And
facts.
We will be judged, you know. And that's a scary place to be in, is in God's judgment, to be in the arms of God. And you're not in right standing with God, you know. So seek God while you can, while he is being gracious, while he is being merciful, because you don't want to come to a place where that grace runs out or that mercy runs out. And I want you to know that wherever you are, you're not too far for God to save you. You're not too far for God to snatch you out. If we always say, if you woke up today, you really isn't more to your story. It's more to your purpose. So regardless of what you have done, regardless of what people say, regardless of what you may feel, regardless of what the enemy is even whispering in your ear, regardless, you're not too far gone to fully devote yourself or fully give your life to God, because Christ is literally calling you right now. Even through this whole episode we've been talking about living a lukewarm life, he's literally calling you to fully devote yourself to him. Your life will only get better. A lot of stuff that you're probably experiencing right now, a lot of stuff that you're probably struggling with and going through, is probably just a result of you not fully surrendering your life to God. And I realized that in my own life, a lot of troubles and stuff that I have and doors not being open. And yeah, look at the Egyptians. They kept walking around and kept walking around. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they didn't grow in full dependence of God. Mm-hmm. So while we can, while you are in this season, God is just trying to get Egypt out of you. He's trying to get the sinful life out of you, the slavery life out of you. He's trying to get the addiction out of you. He's trying to get the strongholds out of you so that you can go into the promised land, so that you can go into Canaan and fully possess the land, cultivate the land, and also bear fruit in the land. But many of us find ourselves walking around the same mountain, walking and walking and walking and walking, is because we haven't fully depended on God. We haven't fully surrendered our life to God. And you know, God is just saying to you right now in this moment, you know, fully surrender to me, or you would just continue to walk around the same mountain, walk around the same mountain. And one day that land won't be there. One day that promise won't be there. One day that opportunity won't be there, whatever that may be for you. It won't be there if you keep putting it off, if you keep going around the same circle, the same circle, the same circle. So through prayer, through fasting, through worship, and just fully devote yourself to God and give God your weaknesses. I said in the last episode that we can go boldly before the throne of grace because God experienced everything that we experienced and did not sin. So actually go to God about that struggle. Like, I have to come to God now full, like, transparently and be like, God, I'm struggling with this. Sometimes we don't pray certain things because we feel like it's below God's pay grade in a way. So we don't come to God with certain things. Mm-hmm. But that's what God died for. That was the whole purpose of him going on the cross and getting up and rising because so he can feel what we felt and he overcame it. It wasn't just so that he could feel what we felt, but he overcame it so he can grant us grace. He can grant us mercy. And you have to realize where we stand in our relationship with God because Christ is at the right hand or he sits at the right seat of God. You know what I'm saying? So he's pleading on our behalf. He's interceding on our behalf. He's a mediator for us because he felt what we felt. And that way he's going to God on our behalf. Like, you know, I felt that, God. Can you grant them more grace, more mercy? Can you help them along the way? Because I felt what that, I know what that feels like. So you got to realize that in this moment that you didn't come to this episode by accident. You didn't watch this whole episode by accident. But God is telling you today, like, you know, today's the day to fully surrender your life. Stop putting it off, you know. Stop saying, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Stop saying, I'm going to get right with God tomorrow. If you keep saying that, you're going to put off your best self. You're going to put off the best life. You're going to forfeit yourself from the life that God has fully called you to live. So
this is definitely your sign to lock in and give it all to God right now. So whatever you're dealing with, whatever's on your heart, whatever God's already been revealing to you, convicting you about, whatever it is, surrender it.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. Surrender it. Give it to God and fully devote your life to him. I promise you it will be the best decision of your life.
Yeah.
You can do it. That's a beautiful episode, brother.
It was. And one last thing, because whatever sin or whatever thing that you are struggling with, you have to realize as well that it may be hard. Because I think one of the things that keep us lukewarm is because sometimes it's hard to break cycles.
Facts.
But you got to realize that it's hard to us, not hard to God. And that's the full point of surrenderance. Because it's like you're showing God, I take my hands off of it so that you can put your hands on it.
Simple.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of us, we keep losing the battle because our hands are still on it. And God's just saying, like, you know, just remove your hands. Give it to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You give it to me, I can fix that problem like it was nothing.
Yeah.
David was only able to kill Goliath because God's grace was on him. It wasn't because of how great David was. It's because he was graced to knock down that giant. And there's certain giants in our lives that God has graced us to knock down, not through ourselves, but through the ability and the power and the grace of Christ to fully knock it down. So give it to God, surrender to God, and let him be the slingshot. Let him be the rock to fully take that giant down. And on the other side of that giant, you're going to see a life. You're going to see the benefits of, you're going to see joy that you've never seen before. You're going to see peace that you've never seen before. You're going to see happiness that you've never seen before. So, yeah.
Beautiful episode, bro. No like, cap. Holy Spirit was just flowing. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If you're somebody that feels like you're lukewarm and you feel like you need help with accountability, you feel like you need to be more in community, please join our Bible study group chat. Through GroupMe, link is in our bio, and link will be in the description as well. Like, comment, share with a friend who may need this, a friend that you may think that they may be backsliding right now to this day. Like, share this video with them, help them out. Y'all know what I'm saying. It's always more purpose. You just have to find yours.
Yes, sir.
We love y'all. We appreciate y'all, and we all just striving to be better, man. We all try to live like Christ. So y'all be safe.
Love.
Hold you accountable. Love.